life more abundantly this morning. Lord, your word says that out of our belly shall flow rivers of living waters. So, Father, whatever we came in this morning with, maybe a heaviness or a tiredness, whatever we might have gone through last week, whatever we might be going through in the weeks to come, we thank you, Lord, that you're a merciful Father, that you're a gracious Father. Lord, your word says, in all thy ways acknowledge you. So here and right now in this moment, we acknowledge you, Father. We recognize your goodness. We recognize your grace, your love toward us. Lord, we lift up all the families in Kentucky and the different states that have been devastated by the tornadoes. Those individuals that have lost loved ones, that have lost homes and businesses and cars. We pray a great grace over them, God. Yeah, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Those little boys and girls right now, those single parent families, let our prayers reach the highest heavens on their behalf, Lord. It could have been us. So God, we just ask that even now that we're reminded of your goodness, that we're not what we have gone through, we're not maybe what others have labeled us. Thank you, Father. Just right there, just begin to thank God in your own way, that he woke you up this morning, that he started you on your way. Some people didn't wake up this morning, but God, we thank you that the very breath in our lungs is a sign of worship to you. Not only are you the reason for the season, but you're the reason for our lives. In you we live, in you we move, in you we have our being. We thank you for this church, for this community, that you've destined and called them for great and mighty things. In Jesus' name. And everyone said... And everyone said, amen. And while you're standing, don't you have the greatest pastors on this side of Indiana? Come on, you got to honor your pastors better than that. What a great church. We honor you guys. Good doctor. I wasn't smart enough to get to stay in school, so you got a good man if you can get a doctorate. But I'm so grateful to be with you all this morning. What a beautiful church. Even as I was driving up, I was like, wow, this is a beautiful church. You all have so much to be grateful for. A little bit about me. My name is AJ, coming all the way from Tulsa, Oklahoma. How many have ever heard or been to Tulsa before? Come on, we got a few Okies in here. Good old Okies. Well, I'm AJ, and it's an honor to be here. I think this is only my second time coming to Indiana, and the worst turbulence that I have ever felt in my life was coming to Indiana. But that's how I know we're destined for great things. Amen? And I need to be done by what time? 10, 15? 10, 20. Okay, got the timer. We'll be done before that. I think they have a picture of my beautiful family. I think that they do. My wife is Asian, and obviously I'm a black man, so we created a new race called Blasians. Black and Asians. That is my family. My oldest daughter in the pink is 6. Her name is Amaya Amor. My daughter in the middle is Mila Rose, and she is powerful. She will punch you and say, I love you, in the same sentence. And my youngest is Isla. Isla is, she will just say no all the day. Do you want something? No. No. Do you love me? No. No. Jesus in your heart? No, no. So pray for our family. I grew up, I told this last night to the group, I grew up in a single parent home, and I didn't cry hardly at all. And I think it was God's way to say, I will break you, because I have 3 daughters, and now I cry all of the time. So I'm sure that there will be some tears even before the end of this service. You know, driving down the street, if I see kids or just the hurting and the broken, I feel like part of my call is really to be an advocate for the underserved, and my heart always breaks for those in need. And so, you will see some black man tears this morning throughout the sermon. But I believe when you are in a place and you're set on, hey, this will be my way, how many know that God's ways are higher than our ways and he will get the final word? And so, again, I'm grateful to be here. My beautiful babies will be watching the next service, my Blasians. So if you never heard of Blasians, you now are a part of the Blasian race. Come on for Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Well, all the way from Tulsa, Oklahoma, go to a great church called Victory Christian Center across the street from Oral Roberts University. We just celebrated our 40th anniversary, and I believe your church celebrated its 100th. Beyond 100. How many years, maybe? 105. Church, give yourselves a round of applause. Just think about the people that have been reached because of this church, because of you all being a part of this community. That is powerful. Anybody 105 years old in here? You never know. Someone could. In North Tulsa, we have a lady that just celebrated her 101st birthday in Tulsa. So the word says, with long life shall he satisfy us. So some of you, if you're not close to 105, you're on your way if you believe that scripture. Well, how many are ready for the word this morning? Come on, how many are ready for the word this morning? I pray every day that I would decrease, John 3:30, that I would decrease and God would increase in me. So this morning, even driving over here, and I've been praying for the experience that we had last night and praying for you all as a church for many weeks. And I pray that the words you would hear would not be the words of AJ, but they would be the words of God, that I would be just his vessel speaking to you, and that there would be something. We believe the word of God changes lives, changes situations. And so we believe that you would receive an impartation from the Holy Spirit this morning. And so the title of the message, if you're taking notes, is expectation. Everybody say expectation. Expectation, the seed for miracles. Expectation is the seed for miracles. And I'm one that likes terms and definitions, and they beat me to it, so great job. The definition of expectation is a strong belief. Everybody say belief. A strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. Expectation, a strong belief. So today I want to come and challenge in a good way, what do you believe? Your belief system for your life, for your family, for your health, for your situation, for your church, for your neighborhood, for your community. A strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. And I believe that, obviously, expectation, the title is expectation, the seed for miracle. Seeds are very powerful. The Bible says, if you have faith as big as a mustard seed. How many have ever seen a mustard seed before? A mustard seed is very, very tiny. And I like to think that I'm a strong guy. I go to the gym in the morning. But if I was to take a mustard seed and throw it as hard as I can at your pastor, he wouldn't even feel it. Well, with that seed, the Bible says that when Jesus was comparing that, if you have faith as big as a mustard seed, something so small, something so minute, that you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. And I believe that things were created twice. First in the mind and then in the natural. This building, the architects, you guys are getting ready to go into a building project, right? Right next door, okay? So are you the designer behind that? Are you the designing that? Someone else is. Okay, so let's just say, for example, your pastor was designing that. And he was working with the architect. Well, the design he first thought of in his head. And then he goes to the architect and he tells the architect, this is what I see. When someone designed this church, they didn't just go to the architect and say, build me a church. He said, no, I see a church, or whoever the team was, the board, we see a church that has a stage and a second level. They first saw it in their mind, and then they were able to go and do it with the architects. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created. God created, and then he spoke the creativity. I used to say that I wasn't creative all growing up. I used to say, man, I'm not creative. You know, that's those the artsy and all that. I don't have that creative gift. And one day the Holy Spirit convicted me. And the Holy Spirit said, am I the creator? And I said, yes. Do I live on the inside of you? Yes. So stop saying you're not creative, because the creator lives on the inside of you. So therefore, I am creative. You are creative because the creator lives in you. And so this morning, as we talk about expectation, I want you to look at the filter of your lives, the filter of your businesses. And if there are breath in your lungs, how many have breath here this morning? Just making sure in case we need to call 911, but if you have breath in your lungs, I believe that there is still an assignment on your life. There are still people that you are called to reach. Your pastors can't go to everywhere that you go. So therefore, and you may say, well, I'm not a pastor. I don't have a church or a stage. No, you're a pastor in the banking industry that you work in the school system that you work in the law firm that you work in, because there are people that may receive from you that may not receive from your pastors. And your pastors, they have their family, so they can't be all things everywhere at all times. So that's why the Bible says, go and make disciples. So part of our assignment in our lives is to receive the word that's given and then to go out into our everyday lives and impact people. Because I believe in this hour, the greatest revival, the church will be a part of the greatest revival. But because what's happening in our world, this is my own personal belief, people are sometimes pushed away from the church because of what's happened in the news or what some pastors have caused others to go, oh, well, they put pastors on a pedestal. And as a result of that, there's been some disbelief. But what if the greatest revival happens at your bank, at the dry cleaners, in that classroom where you teach, or in the cafeteria that you may work? Not because of anything else, but because you're Jesus in the flesh. That when they look at you, when people look at your lives, do they see Jesus? If on the screen we had no sound, but we could see the very life that you're living, would we see Jesus? Would the movie show us, man, Dr. Joseph, he's a man after God's own heart. Man, Pastor Ashley, she's a woman after God's own heart. In the way that you're talking to your kids, in the way that you're stewarding your finances, in the way that you've engaged with people that may look different than you, would we see Jesus? I believe this is the greatest hour for the church. The church is not a building. You are the church. That this is the greatest hour that we have for people to receive Jesus. And a Jesus that lives on the inside of you. In the drive-thru, when you're ordering food, are you encouraging, hey, ma'am, you're going to make it. Hey, sir, God has a plan for your life. Those are seeds that all of us can deposit into someone's life in order to make a difference. And the Bible says, some plant, some water, but God brings the harvest. So even on the journey of ministering to people, you may be the one to just plant the seed in that person. Hey, God loves you. And you never know, God will bring someone else to say, hey, can I pray with you about that situation? And then a few weeks later, God may bring someone else to say, hey, would you like to accept Jesus, or would you like to come to church with me? But it all started with a what? Seed. Seeds. Expectation, the seed for miracles. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. When is faith? Come on, this is a group effort, open book test. When is faith? Come on, look at the screen. When is faith? When is faith? Faith is now. Faith is not yesterday. Faith is not tomorrow. Faith is now. So when you are, and that's not the black version. That is the God's version. That comes straight from the Bible. We didn't make that up. Faith is now. So if you're looking at your clock, everybody look at your clock. I don't have a clock, but I'm just imagining. Clock, okay. That's when faith is. God, I got a negative doctor's report, but I'm believing what your word says. So therefore, faith is now. God, my marriage is on the rocks. God, you're a healer. God, you're a restorer. God, my faith is now. And in spite of what it may look like, Jehoshaphat in the Bible was a great king. This wasn't on the script. I just feel prompted to share this. Jehoshaphat was a great king, and I've got three daughters, and I try to tell the stories in the Bible like a Disney movie to my daughters. So sometimes we dress up in John the Baptist gear or Esther gear, and we get clothing and towels and different things throughout the house. And my three-year-old daughter, Mila, she said, Daddy, I was doing the crucifixion scene telling about Jesus. She said, Daddy, was Jesus black? And I said, in this story, Jesus is black because Daddy's black. And this is all you got. And so today I'm going to tell the stories, not to insult your intelligence, but I like for the Bible to come alive. And so I try to tell stories to my children, but also even in my personal devotion, I try to put myself in that era, in that time, because it helps me to understand the Bible. Otherwise, the Bible can come across somewhat boring. Is there anybody else that would be honest? Okay, I'm the only one. Okay, praise God. No, I'm just kidding. So I try to really, really just paint a picture. So today I'm gonna paint a picture of King Jehoshaphat. So King Jehoshaphat was a great king in the Bible, but there were three different kingdoms that had come against him. And his servants and his army was small, even though he was a great king. And so here he was, and there was an army. Just imagine massive armies. He was in a valley, a massive army that surrounded him. And he prayed, God, what shall we do? What shall we do? He was afraid, and it looked like he was surrounded. It looked like that he was going to lose in the natural. But he called a fast. And he called his worshipers. He said, we're going to pray and fast, and we're going to believe that God will save us. And so all of a sudden, they began to pray and fast and worship. And the Bible says when they went out to prepare for the battle, that something came over the other army, and they began to fight against themselves. And even without fighting, Jehoshaphat had won the victory. That's the great thing about God, and when we use our faith, is that even when it looks like that we're at a loss, when we put our faith, our trust, and our hope in God, God will send the warring angels ahead of us. And the Bible says he's given angels charge over us. So you have angels right now that are assigned to you. Have you given your angels assignment today? When I wake up in the morning, I say, God, I thank you for breath in my lungs, and I thank you that my angels are surrounding my family, are protecting us like a shield everywhere that we go. I thank you that our store and our communities and our employees are blessed, are protected. Have you given your angels assignment? Have you given your angels that are on assignment for you, have you given them charge today? The word says you have been given authority. But do we walk in that authority? God has given you and I authority. Whatever situation you're going through, you have authority. I don't know why I got on that, but I felt like that was for someone. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. So in order for faith to work, there has to be an expectation. In order for faith to work, there has to be an expectation. Jehoshaphat said, we will pray and we will worship. in a battle, it doesn't make sense in a physical battle that you would pray first. But he had an expectation that if I would seek God first, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So if I'm going to seek God first, Lord, I thank you that I've got an expectation that you're going to move, that you're going to protect, that you're going to intervene, that something's going to happen. So in order for faith to work, there has to be an expectation. Growing up, I had severe asthma up until I was probably 11 years old. And I remember I was about 9 years old, and it would really hit when the seasons would change. So when we would go from winter to spring, massive asthma. When you go from spring to summer, and then summer to fall, and so forth. Well, one particular when I'm originally born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Any Packer fans, Bucks fans? Okay, Hoosier fans, I get it. I'm alone here. But one particular winter, my parents were divorced, and I remember waking up in the middle of the night, and I couldn't breathe. I was a young boy, and I couldn't breathe, and it was as if my chest was just tightening up, and my mom immediately put me on the breathing machine, but it wasn't working. I still couldn't breathe, and there was short little breaths. So we immediately got in the car in the middle of the night and drove to the hospital. And my mom is a praying mom, and we were still in Milwaukee at the time. And so my dad came to the hospital, and I remember I was in between breaths. I was asking my mom, am I going to die? And all of a sudden, my mom just begins to cry. And she lays on top of me and just begins to pray. Life, life in Jesus' name, life in Jesus' name. And I remember when my dad came in and another pastor came in, they were saying, AJ, begin to see yourself living. Begin to see yourself playing football again. And in my mind, I remember, even in the shortness of breath, I remember closing my eyes and imagining myself running track again, playing football again, running with my friends outside. And we had to do some massive procedures and all this stuff. But in the end, obviously, thank God I'm still alive. Amen. In another situation, I had meningitis in college. My sophomore year, first in my family to graduate from college. And was playing football at the University of Tulsa. And there's not one candle lit. I noticed that. I'm a little OCD, sorry. I had flu-like symptoms and was sick for a while, and they couldn't figure out. So one day I just drove myself to the hospital because I was having a massive migraine. It even hurt to blink and hear the birds outside chirping. I remember walking into the emergency room, and the nurse took one look at me, and all of a sudden it was like she hit a button, and I was surrounded by like three or four different nurses, and I was taken straight back. I had to get three spinal taps, and they were drawing blood every hour. And I remember they said, son, you need to call your parents. And I said, well, what's wrong? And they said, we think you have meningitis, and it's one of the worst cases that we've seen. We don't know how much longer you have to live. And I was in the hospital for 3 months, and I was having massive seizures. And we had all of the church and everyone praying. And I remember one night in the middle of the night, all of these people were praying. They were sending notes. There was worship constantly going in the room. And I remember one night praying because I was in so much pain. God, would you just take me? As a young kid, would you just take me? Because I was in so much pain. I was alone in the hospital that night. And I remember hearing, have you prayed for yourself? And I begin to think, well, yeah. Well, they prayed, and different church members came in, and different pastors came in, and I thought, I haven't prayed for myself. And so I remember one night the nurse came in, and she said, hey, we're going to have to draw some more blood in the morning. And I hadn't been able to eat or drink in like 3 days. And she said, you're going to have to eat something or else we're going to have to take you to surgery to draw more things. And I didn't want surgery and they were pricking me all the time. And I got sick of being pricked. And so she said, you're going to have to eat this whole row of crackers and apple juice and it has to stay in your system. And I began to pray for myself, Lord, I thank you that I'm healed. Your word says, let the weak say I am strong. So I'm healed in Jesus' name. And I began to eat the crackers. And I was expecting to throw up, but I just would say, when I feel queasy, thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. And so that 15 minutes turned into 30 minutes and then turned into 45. And after an hour, I was able to drink 2 apple juices. And then I was able to eat a second pack of crackers. And then she said, well, let's try to go for a walk. So she unplugged everything and I had my little IV bag. And she said, we're going to try to make it around the entire floor. And I remember coming back on that backside and I said, I can't do it anymore. I just want to stop. And she said, come on, AJ. Come on. And I played football in college, and she, you know, she was trying to, I guess, get my masculinity up. She said, aren't you a man? And I said, what did you say? And so I said, so I'm crying. I said, don't you test me. Let's go. And so I'm wheeling and I'm walking slowly. But the words that come out of your mouth are very important. The Bible says life and death are in the tongue. Not just in your pastor's tongue, but they're in your tongue. So how and what are the words that you're speaking over your situation? Because the Bible says you will eat the fruit of your words. So today, and I tell my daughters every single day, we use our words to create worlds. You say, how is that? Genesis 1. And God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be birds in the air and fish of the sea. And God said, let's separate day and night. God used his words to create. That's why I believe the word says there are life and death in the power of what? Your tongue. So when you face a situation, are you saying, well, that's just stupid? When you face a sickness, well, the doctor did say I'm sick. The doctor said I only have 3 months to live. That may be true what the doctor said, but what does God's word say? So I want to encourage you, what worlds are you creating with your worlds, with your words, over your situation, over your family, over your finances? Well, we got more month left than we got money. I don't know how we're going to do Christmas this year. Man, that pastor is sure wanting to do some things. Where's that money going to come from? And pastor, I came in yesterday as you guys were in your board meeting. And I just was there for part of it. And we want to sow $1,000 into that project. And so, yeah. And I don't know where you're at on it, but you can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. I said this yesterday. The word says, your will be done, Matthew 5, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right now, my wife and I aren't drawing a salary. How can we take a step of faith and sow into another man's vision what God has called him to do? Because I know that, hey, when God gives a word, you obey. So before we leave today, we're going to sow because we believe when you sow, God is in charge of the harvest. God is the greatest businessman in the world. How in the world can the Bible say, and I don't know why I'm getting on this, but the Bible talks about tithe. Bring your tithe, 10%. And the Bible also says, and I believe it's in Deuteronomy, Over and above the tithe, over and above that 10% is the commanded blessing. So my wife and I have a practice of everything that comes in. Yes, we sow the tithe, but we also sow over and above that tithe. Because how can God, whether it's 15%, whether it's 11%, whether it's 20%, in the natural, it looks like that doesn't make sense to give God 10 or 15%, 20%, but God always multiplies it back. What bank can you go to? What stock can you give to that you say, hey, give me 10 and I'll bless the 90 better than had you not given it to me before? Wherever you're at in life as a church and with your giving, take it from a black young man who grew up in a single parent home, who had red disconnect notices on the door all of the time. But at a young age, we learned the principles of faith and giving. And you can't afford not to give. Because God, it all belongs to God anyway. 100% of what you have belongs to God. So I want to encourage you in the season of Christmas and giving and Thanksgiving that we just came off of, I want to encourage you, even says in Malachi, test me. Try God out. If you're giving your 10%, great. And you may not even say, man, I'm not even giving 10%. Start with something. Start with a dollar. Start with 10 cents. Just take a step. And I believe as you take a step towards God, he's going to take a step towards you in your giving. Yeah, is it make sense for us to give to a project when I have a wife and three kids and a new business in an underserved community? North Tulsa was once considered Black Wall Street, where there was a lot of thriving businesses and things that took place and events took place and all the buildings got burned down, and it happened in 1921. And this past May 31st, 2021, was the centennial, the 100-year commemoration of that. And people were asking, Oprah did a big show over it, and CNN and Fox and ABC, they all did big stories over Tulsa. And they said, what's changed in the last 100 years for blacks? And, you know, there's people speaking all over the world. And one thing that they said is, well, there's now a grocery store in this area. Well, there was no grocery stores in North Tulsa in the last 100 years, or in the last 14 years. But yet there were 10 Dollar Generals. Yeah. That's just crazy to think about. And there's a study, everywhere that there is a Dollar General, there is the highest level of sickness, disease, and crime. Dollar General is a $32 billion company. And I'm not here to hate on Dollar General. They're doing a lot of great things. But just in North Tulsa, there wasn't a complete grocery store in 14 years, but yet there were 10 Dollar Generals, and people are expected to live 11 years shorter in North Tulsa than in any other community in the state. So I paint the picture to show you that we are serving the neediest and most underserved in Oklahoma. And here I am. I was an executive administrative pastor of a church, an executive director of the Tulsa Dream Center. And we took a step of faith outside of the norm to open up a grocery store. It sounds crazy. It sounds utterly crazy. We're in 8 months of that, and the Holy Spirit said, don't draw a salary. And I said, oh, that must be the pizza I ate last night, because, Lord, we need money. But I'm telling you, in every season, you cannot outgive God. So wherever you are in the last 2 or 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks of the year, I want to encourage you to just take a step, just take a step of faith in your giving. I hope that helps. Your giving is important. You cannot. It's only crazy until it happens. Okay, so 2 Kings, getting back to the word, expectation, the seed for miracles. And Keys, if you want to come back up and just, you know, it's always better when you got the heavenly keys. You know, it just sounds like the Spirit is moving. So play something soft and heavenly. So in 2 Kings chapter 5, it's the story of Naaman. Naaman was a powerful commander. And he led this massive, massive army. But Naaman had a secret. He was helping his king advance and take over kingdoms all over the land. And so here is Naaman, and he is the commanding general. He lived in the finest place underneath the king. His army had the greatest armor because they could make it out of pure gold. His horses were the strongest and the greatest horses. But Naaman had a secret underneath the armor. Naaman had leprosy. And one day there was this servant girl. The servant girl that worked for Naaman's wife. She was actually a slave in the house of Naaman. And she told the queen, or she told Naaman's wife, hey, I'm paraphrasing here. She said, I believe there's a man named Elisha. And if Naaman would go see the prophet Elijah, I believe that he could be healed. And the wife went to Naaman and said, honey, our servant girl, she said, why don't you just go see this prophet named Elijah? And he might be able to heal you. They say he's got a God that does miracles. And so here's Naaman, this strong commanding general who takes the word of a servant girl, of a nameless girl. The Bible doesn't even give her the decency to name her. The author doesn't even credit who she is. But one thing I learned from reading that, be careful of those you think that don't matter. Be careful. Because they could be the key that unlocks the destiny that God has for you. Be careful of the young bus boy, the waitress. Be careful of the long crew. Be careful of the janitors that you think, the nameless people that you may think that don't matter. Because they matter to God. Because they matter to God. And so here is this nameless girl who had been captured and taken away from her family, and she could have had hatred and animosity in her heart toward Naaman and his wife, but she said, I know of a man if you would go see him. And in 2 Kings, he got a letter from the king to take all the gold and silver to go ahead and bless this man. And so Elijah, and you can read it for yourself, but Elijah heard that Naaman was coming. His servant saw from afar, so he sent his servant, Elisha, sent his servant to this commanding general. He didn't even have the decency to go meet him himself. But he said, give the word. Here's the word of the Lord for Naaman. Go dip yourself in the Jordan River 7 times. Naaman gets greeted by this servant, and Naaman was frustrated. First of all, he was frustrated because the prophet, the honorable prophet, didn't even come greet him himself. You sent a servant to someone like me? I'm the great general. I'm the commanding officer. And you couldn't come greet me? And the messenger says, sir, hear the word of the Lord. Go dip yourself in the Jordan River. And not only did he get frustrated because Elisha didn't come, but he got frustrated because the Jordan River was considered the ghettos. He said, aren't there nicer rivers than these? And the Bible lists 3 or 4 different rivers. There's this river that's beautiful and plush. There's another river, man, that's in the mountains that looks so beautiful. Why can I not go to one of those? Why must you send me to the ghettos? Where have we heard that before in the Bible where they says, Jesus from Nazareth, can anything good come from Nazareth? Why? Because Nazareth was considered for the lower class. So here we have this commanding officer that says, I want to go to the nice areas. I don't want to go to the ghettos, to the Jordan River. And he got frustrated and he was ready to pack up. And his soldier said, sir, please, chill, calm down. We've traveled this way. Can you not test it out? Let's not go back empty-handed. We've carried all this gold and silver. You left with an excitement and a passion and a zeal that you might be healed. Just go to the Jordan River. Just go 7 times. So he takes off the armor. And the soldiers, I imagine, they begin to see the disfiguration. We all can come to church and have this nice aura about us. But we all have things, if we're truly honest, that we're going through. Things that we may not want others to know. My marriage looks like this, but when I get home, it's actually like this. I may sing on stage, but I'm actually struggling with insecurity. I once was a successful business person, but I don't want anybody to know that my business is failing. So he finally begins to take his armor off and he goes down to the Jordan River and he dips 7 times. And the Bible says on a 7th time that he came up, his skin was as soft as a baby. His skin was renewed. His skin was healed. He had an expectation, a strong belief that something will happen. But the miracle didn't come in the way that he thought. Sometimes you might be waiting on God to bless you through your channel, through your aisle. But what if it's supposed to come from up there? What if it's supposed to come in the ghettos of Jordan or Jesus from Nazareth, from an unexpected place? So today I want to encourage you, let down the way in which you think God ought to bless you. God, can't you just pay my bill? God, can't you just wake him up? God, can't you just change her? What? God, can you change me? The miracle may not come the way in which you expected it. 4 keys for expectation, and I'll be done in 5 minutes. 4 keys for expectation. The first one is belief. You must believe. Matthew 9:29. Jesus was walking down, and there was a crowd of people and 2 blind men sat by the gate, and they would sit all day just, and they were begging, please, please. And 2 blind men, come here, pastor, come here. Black and white, that's good. Come sit right here. You didn't know you were getting an illustrated sermon today. Okay, so close your eyes. So we're blind. And so we have our hands out and we're asking for money. And they heard Jesus was coming to town amongst the crowd, and they began to say, Son of David, please have mercy. And people would try to silence them, be quiet. Jesus doesn't care about you. 4 keys for expectation. They began to shout louder, Son of David, please, please have mercy on us. And they were shouting louder and louder and louder. And Jesus finally came over to him. And Jesus said, become what you believe. And their eyes were open. And they were healed. The first key for expectation is belief. Become what you believe. What do you believe about your situation? What do you believe about yourself? What do you believe about your marriage? What do you believe about that storm? The second key for expectation is thought. Everybody say thought. The woman with the issue of blood, she carried that issue for 13 years. She heard that Jesus was coming to town. Sick and weary and weak. There's life in the blood. And because she was hemorrhaging for 13 years, bleeding out everywhere that she went for 13 years, she was probably frail and weak. And the Bible says she first thought to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I might be healed. And so pressing her way through the crowds, pressing her way through the traffic, through the camels and the horses, she pressed her way through and she touched the hem of his garment. As a man thinketh in their heart, so is he. That's the Bible. The Bible says, as you think, so are you. So how's your thinking? How's your thinking? Begin to think higher. The Bible says, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Begin to think higher about your situation. The Bible even says, ask me for the nations and I'll give them to you. What nation are you asking for? I ask God for Tulsa. I ask God for Oklahoma. I ask God for America. Because the Bible, I believe in that moment when God was saying, ask me for the nation, he was saying, do you dare to believe that you can do it? Do you dare to believe that it's possible? Yesterday, I heard you say something that we believe it's possible. The very word impossible, think about it in your head, I-M-P-O-S-S-I-B-L-E. The very word impossible says I'm possible. Poof, mind just blown. The very word impossible actually spells I'm possible. So the next storm that you're going through, the next situation or bad report that somebody says, that's impossible. What are you going to say? I'm what? I'm possible. When it looks like you're going to get evicted from your apartment or your home, and there's maybe more month than there is money, you're going to say what? I'm possible. I'm possible. I created a costume for my daughters that is I'm possible. One is I'm and the other one's possible and they go together. I'm possible. So I want you to get your Jesus superhero character this morning that I've got a strong belief that something's going to happen. I'm changing my belief system. I'm changing my thoughts. The third one is action. I'm sorry, the third one is preparation. Your dream will only go as far as your team. How are you preparing? If you were getting ready to have a baby, you would get the crib ready and the room and you would prepare for that baby. How are you preparing for the thing that God has called you to do? Are you just waiting until the money comes or are you researching it? Are you studying? Are you making plans as if you've already got the promise? Belief, thought, preparation, and the last one is action. James 1:22, be doers of the word. Jesus said, let it be done according to your faith. Faith has a corresponding action. God is infinitely bigger than your biggest problem, and his grace is infinitely bigger than your greatest sin. If you would, please bow your heads and close your eyes. And you may be here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart. Or you might be far from Jesus or just need to rededicate your life. Or you might be here going through a situation and a storm that it feels like it's impossible. If we could just all pray this prayer together. And Jesus may already be in your heart, but for the comfort of others that may be praying this prayer for the first time in the room, can we all pray this prayer together, dear Heavenly Father? Come on, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for my sin, for my shame, for my disbelief. I ask you to come into my heart, to heal me, to wash me, to change me. Let me, Father, live with a great expectation, not just for myself, but to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. My name is AJ. It's an honor to serve you. I hope that you've been encouraged and blessed. Leave today with great expectations.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, I hope that the Lord has spoken to your heart today. And take those words, hold on to them, live in the truth of them. And I hope that last word, action, I really believe that God is calling us to action. It is the time for us to be about His work. Love you all. Appreciate each and every one of you. Make sure and be a part of Sunday school today. Start it out. We're going to have Jeff's right here in the back. If you'd like to bless Pastor AJ and his ministry, he's living off of just, and I said this to somebody this morning, you know, I mean, could Ashley and I say to ourselves, okay, today we stop receiving from the church? And that's what he's done. So that's a lot of faith. A lot of challenge today, church. I hope you'll receive it. But Jeff's back there. If you'd like to bless he and his family, we'd love for you to do that. And thank you so much. God bless you.